Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. In this video, I'm commenting on the gladsome tidings of 2 days ago. Many newspapers carried this article stating that the United Kingdom, for the very first time, renewable energy is outstripping hydrocarbons, that's to say oil, gas and coal. But the United Kingdom closed its last coal-fired power station just a couple of months ago. Methinks that that was a misjudgment, because there could arise a situation where the United Kingdom desperately needs to use more coal, because for whatever reason, oil gas prices spike. There's a big problem with the renewables, just to have the coal in reserve, using as little as possible. And there were a few months in lockdown in 2020 when the UK went a few weeks without burning coal for the first time, I suppose, since prehistory. People have always found these black rock-like things that they burnt. Obviously, since the Industrial Revolution, started doing a huge scale when it wasn't just for domestic heating and cooking. Well, that's definitely a good news. So using wind power, solar power, biomass, and the United Kingdom, being a group of islands, has got enormous capacity for wind power, because obviously it's windiest at sea. The wind can go thousands of kilometers over the oceans without hitting houses, trees, hills to stop it. We in the Republic of Ireland, we've got an even greater capacity considering we're further out into the Atlantic. We've got such a huge coastline, particularly in relation to our population. Irish Republic, we've got about 80,000 square kilometres and we've only got 5 million people. The United Kingdom, about 240,000 square kilometres and about 70 million people. Moreover, the Republic of Ireland blocks most of the UK from the Atlantic directly. Okay, Northern Ireland's got it. Bits of like sort of Southern England, like, you know, Cornwall, Western Scotland. Now, the further you put the electricity down the cable, the more it leaks. A leak isn't the proper term of art. I can't remember what it is. There's resistance or something. I'm no good at physics. I'm sure it shows. So ideally, you have the wind generation as close to the metropolis as possible. The trouble is the UK's major conurbations like Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, London, and so forth, aren't in particularly windy areas. Glasgow is obviously not that far from the coast, and therefore the Atlantic's not really blocked by Ireland there. Anyway, but it's definitely good news. Now, David Cameron, I remember when he became leader of the Conservative Unionist Party in December 2005, his motto was vote blue, go green. Okay, so you could vote for the Conservative Party and that would do more for ecology. And then he racked up the air miles, he pumped out all the carbon emissions, flying to where it was in the Arctic Circle and posing on a sled. Mush, he was saying to the Huskies, no doubt, mush, like his policies. So it was just for a photo opportunity. It was just your pure PR spivvery, just disgustful. But yes, it is good to care about the environment, the wind turbine in his roof, and he cycles to work to save the environment. Oh yeah, and has a car behind him carrying a suit. The hypocrisy, how nonsensical it is. But yes, it is important to draw attention to this issue. The trouble is, I remember my colleague saying, my God, in 2005, we're going to have to live less well. And which politician is going to have the cojones to tell us that? You're going to have a smaller house, use less heating, buy fewer items, not drive so much, drive a smaller car, not fly so much, and all the rest of it, a lower standard of living. And that's the stark reality. Partly, you know, air prices are so high, the economy is so bad, people are buying a bit less anyway. But then Cameron, the idiotic decision he did was to bring in the de facto ban on onshore wind. We want as many men to do wind turbines as possible. If some people find it ugly, tough, we're building it anyway. And this is one of the few ways I'm actually on board with the Labour Party. You won't often hear me singing the praises of Labour, but I think they're owed a hymn of praise in this particular one. Just railroad it through. You know, the local people don't like it. We're building it. That's it. Now, one of the many problems is there's not enough battery capacity, because very windy days they'll catch for so many kilowatt hours, but then they can't store it. And obviously, you need to, the windiest areas are the least densely populated, like the Outer Hebrides, for instance, because that's so far out into the Atlantic. Very few people live on those islands. And the most heavily populated areas, I point out, are the least windy, as in London and the English West Midlands. But you need to store the energy from the very windy days and use it on the not so windy days. And the not so windy days, you're going to burn more coal. Not coal anymore, gas, oil, and so forth. Solar power, obviously, the United Kingdom being fairly occluded, it's not fantastic for solar power. You can still capture sun, obviously, particularly in a month like June with very long hours of sunlight. Biomass, just growing more farmers, paying farmers, and that would be good for them. Why is this a good thing? Because there are fewer carbon emissions. It's going to slow global warming, ideally stop it, maybe even reverse it. But that's probably a century away from being able to reverse it somewhat. Other harmful gases not being emitted. They're not going to be oil slicks if we don't use oil. But there are not going to be so many fires. It's quieter. There's more energy independence. It's just a win-win-win, not being held to ransom by the likes of Putin. As it happens, the most tyrannies that control a lot of oil, gas, and coal. So it's just a win all round. The trouble is obviously quite expensive, but like most new technology, it's mega expensive and not that efficient. It becomes more efficient and cheaper. Just look at the first computer. The one in the Second World War took up two whole rooms, used so much energy, it could only be operated for 1 hour a day because the electricity consumption. And you'd have far more power in your mobile phone computational power than you would in that whole massive computer of the 1940s. Or look at Babbage's calculating machine 200 years ago. So first is worse in terms of technology. So the cost of it is coming down, is more efficient, there are economies of scale. One thing the United Kingdom needs to increase effort on is actually the electric grid, updating that and battery storage rather than the solar panels and the wind turbines themselves. So I just build them everywhere, put them on almost every building, make it compulsory to have them on virtually every building within 10 years. Obviously, you can't do it within 1 year. There's just not enough people to put these things on. There might be some exemptions for buildings of whatever exceptional beauty. And a lot of government-owned land, the government can do it now on army bases, air bases, prisons, naval bases, whatever, you know, state schools, hospitals, a wind turbine, something, some solar panels. The cheapest land, the least agriculturally productive land, we'll put it there. And we'll get to energy independence, and we'll get to, you know, net zero, or get to, you know, not using any hydrocarbons at all, and then have to update. Now, there are problems with vulnerabilities of these cables. Are they going to be cut by Russia or any hostile state actors? So, and we need more links between Ireland and Great Britain. Obviously, there's a land link between the Republic and Northern Ireland, more cables between the United Kingdom and France and Belgium, the Netherlands and so forth, so that when the United Kingdom is a very windy day, can sell more electricity to the continent. When it has a not so windy day, can purchase it from other places, and just the whole thing much more integrated. Jersey, Guernsey, Sark, Alderney gave their electricity from France, surprise, surprise, because they're much closer. But I think this is Ed Miliband. I have to applaud him in this one. He's just going to authorize these things, even if the NIMBYs don't want it. They're not in my backyard, because almost everybody agrees we need these things. And people say, oh, it's not going to do anything to dent our the needs in energy. It'll reduce so little. Well, it's increased enormously. You go back to the millennium, about 1% of the United Kingdom's electricity was renewable. It's now about 40% and growing all the time. So getting to net zero, I can't remember when it's supposed to be by. It's not 2030, is it? I mean, that's not feasible, but it's going to be sometime if it's 2050. Moving beyond hydrocarbons completely, that is feasible, but that may not be for a century. We want to get as close as we can, as soon as we can. Yeah, and Republic of Ireland, we can lead the way. I'm glad we've done that. I mean, Denmark, Norway are streets ahead. Norway with an enormously long coastline, proportionally one of the longest coastlines in the world. And plus, it's the Atlantic. It's not blocked by any landmass anywhere near close. So very strong winds, very low population density, only 5 million people. So they've got this most tremendous capacity for that, and use all their oil, gas, and so on for export. And a lot of the technology was originally Danish. Insular and peninsular Denmark both have quite a high capacity for wind power. Obviously, the North Sea at the Baltic, not actually the Atlantic, but especially in relation to their relatively low population of 5 million, not a tiny population density like Norway. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Please keep the donations coming on PayPal. Urgently need them to sustain the channel. I've seen far slicker channels with fewer viewers than me. There we go. Okay, goodbye then.